SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to a new week, live right here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. And here we are on a Monday morning, reacting to the NFL Sunday slate for week number six. Joe Lisi, a day that was full of tons of underdog upsets, not just covering numbers, Joe, but the dogs having a day going barking and winning outright.
Unbelievable. What a weekend of college and pro football. Just unreal in terms of the outcomes that transpired this coming weekend, Ben. And you look at the NFL action yesterday, right? I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars had Indianapolis on life support. Indy pulls it out. But outside of that, and maybe Minnesota, that got the victory with Cincinnati on the road. Every other underdog won outright. Saquon Barkley knocking off Baltimore and Lamar Jackson in the closing minutes of that ballgame was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And straight through to the 4 o'clock action. Seattle knocking off Arizona. I mean, unbelievable action. I think the books absolutely killed it this week. Only time will tell. We'll see how it transpires. But we're really starting to see some teams take form while others, like the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know, they're on life support. And Cliff Kingsbury is definitely on the hot seat.
And now we question, Joe, does the market react? Those preseason priors probably tell you the New York Jets are a bad football team. The New York Jets are 4-2 this year, all four victories winning outright as an underdog because Gangrene has been booked as an underdog in all six games so far. The New York Giants are a 5-1 football team. Four of their five victories, Joe, they have won outright as a dog, covering in all five of those wins. Sticking in the Empire State, the Buffalo Bills, probably the best team in the National Football League, 5-1 with a huge victory on the road in that division around rematch in Kansas City against the Chiefs yesterday. But the only unbeaten team, Joe, left in the National Football League, the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly handles its business once again, converting with a huge second quarter once again, and even covering, Joe, on Sunday Night Football at home in Philadelphia, 26-17, the victory over the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles cover as a touchdown favorite, and they remain perfect, Joe, 6-0 so far this season.
Yeah, I watched every snap of that ball game, and all I could say is I don't think Philadelphia gets enough credit. We know about the skill talent, but that offensive line was pushing around Micah Parsons in the front seven in terms of the rushing attack. Miles Sanders got going. That opened up big plays in terms of the play-action passing game to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and Jalen Hurts is really coming into form. You could tell he's the leader, and the players buy into that offense, and that's all it takes. I tell you right now, they are one confident group. They are the best team in the NFC right now because they're undefeated. And at the end of the day, if the defense takes the next step like they did, you know, over the past couple of weeks in terms of forcing turnovers, they're going to be a difficult out come playoff time.
They are going to be, and they are the favorites in the NFC at plus 220. And Joe, when you look at what the Eagles do, I think you summed it up there really well. They ran the football last night 39 times for 136 yards. Philly was the leading rushing offense in the National Football League a season ago, and Philly is still running it around 56.3% of the time. What does that mean? They know they are predicated on the ground game. How do you stifle a really good front seven, Joe, and a really good team that applies tons of pressure to quarterbacks in the Dallas Cowboys, who still sacked Jalen Hurts four times last night? You get that ground game going and take the onus off of your quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who also ran it nine times for 27 yards. Miles Sanders, 18 carries, 71 yards over his rushing yards prop of 66.5. That's still what they're predicated on, Joe. It's creative. It looks different than the I formation or anything under center, but Philly can run the football, and they put that on display last night. A big, big victory, Joe, that now has the Eagles, as you talk about the big picture perspective here, minus 370 to win the NFC East, which is maybe one of the best divisions in all of the NFL this year, but it paints the path for the Eagles as that best side in the NFC on a path maybe destined to be a part of the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think Philly was a contender in terms of taking that step, in terms of making it to the NFC Championship. But watching that game last night, I honestly believe that in terms of the defensive perspective as well. Darius Slay, in terms of leading that secondary, you can't throw over the top against that secondary. I haven't seen it happen yet. And that's what legitimate playmakers. CeeDee Lamb was stifled. Gallup was held into check last night. And I understand it was Cooper Rush. But at the end of the day, if they play like that, again, they're going to be right there with the Chiefs and the Bills in terms of a Super Bowl appearance. We'll see how it plays out. And at the end of the day, everybody that knocked Jalen Hurts, though, Ben, he is now showing he is the face of the franchise.
Certainly so. It wasn't the biggest stats performance for Hurts yesterday. Just a 155 through the air, but 2 touchdowns, clean football, no interceptions. And again, the only 27 rushing yards on the ground, but looks very in command of that offense, Joe. An offense right now for Philly that has them as the favorites in the NFC, plus 220, nearly $3 in front of the Buccaneers. More FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on FFC live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and all across the Sports Grid channel. Here we are, FFC, Joe Lisi, Ben Stevens. Let's continue recapping week number 6 of the Sunday slate in the National Football League. And Joe, we talked about Sunday night football. The Eagles, the second best price to win the Super Bowl right now, only behind the Buffalo Bills, who remain the Super Bowl favorites, plus 290 that number for the Bills, plus 550 for the Eagles, 8-1 on the Kansas City Chiefs with that third best price. We saw two of those three teams, the two from the AFC, Buffalo and KC, face off against one another yesterday inside Arrowhead, the rematch of the divisional round from a season ago. The overtime thriller between KC and Buffalo. This time, Joe, another incredibly competitive game, but Buffalo gets the win at the end. 24-20, even covering as a 2.5-point favorite to improve to 5-1 this year. Joe, what was your main takeaway from yesterday in Arrowhead?
Well, just the fact that the Buffalo defense was able to come up with a critical stop when they needed it the most, right? They forced the interception with the closing minutes of that ball game to solidify it. And the fact that, you know, even though Josh Allen had a great game and Stephon Diggs stepped up, they played well. They didn't try to get into a shootout with Pat Mahomes in terms of that playoff game. They were more in control. They were more methodical. And I thought that helped and preserved their defense in terms of that matchup. So I thought the game plan was fantastic. They were able to run the football with Singletary. Josh Allen got some yards in the end. And at the end of the day, they were able to wear down Kansas City's defense when they needed it the most. And they picked up the victory. And we saw this last year, right? This is what played out in the regular season game when they won that matchup 38-20. It was a different situation in the playoff game. But at the end of the day, if the defense could play like that the rest of the way, they're going to the championship game, baby. I'm telling you, Buffalo, the most complete team in the NFL, in my opinion.
I think they certainly look the part right now, Joe, because they have an alien playing quarterback, a freight truck who runs like a Lamborghini in Josh Allen, even leaping over defenders to pick up crucial first downs late in a fourth quarter of a football game. And Joe, I think we are going to see these two teams again, hopefully sometime in the postseason, maybe even in that AFC title game. But yesterday could be a big advantage for Buffalo to host the AFC championship as opposed to having to go to KC for the division around, where the Chiefs have hosted that AFC title game, Joe, now 4 consecutive seasons. But you bring up a great point about the defense. That's why you go get a game breaker in Von Miller. If that is going to be the difference maker, for Von Miller to be double teamed multiple times on that final possession and make a play to force Patrick Mahomes into a hurried up read out of the pocket where it wasn't the best decision by Mahomes, leading to his second interception of the game on a pass intended for Sky Moore that locked it up for Buffalo. That's why you get Von Miller. That's why you add him to this side that has so much hope and optimism, even following that playoff loss last year to KC, but to take that next level so it's no longer playoff losses, it's playoff wins. And yes, this is just week six, and yes, it's just the regular season, but it feels like these two teams, Joe, certainly trending in that direction for a potential rematch of a rematch of a rematch. And Lisa, although the final score was 24-20, under a total that was booked at 53.5, the highest number for the weekend from that over-under perspective, it still was incredibly competitive because last year's divisional round matchup that went to the extra session tied at the end of the first, second, third, and fourth quarters. Yesterday in KC, tied at the end of the first, second, and third quarters. Ultimately, Buffalo taking the lead for good in the final 2.5 minutes of that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was all about, right? I mean, but that is their stiffest competition in terms of the AFC. We know it's going to be Kansas City. We know it's going to be Buffalo and then everybody else right now. At the end of the day, they have the elite quarterback play to come from behind and really challenge any team in terms of the NFL. The biggest thing that you wanted to see from Buffalo is, in terms of last year's game, they didn't really step up in the final 2 minutes, right? Would that hold their over their heads in terms of this matchup in the regular season, or were they going to go in knowing that they made mistakes and they were going to adjust? They did that. And the biggest thing for me in terms of when you look at Buffalo right now, to get off the field on third down conversions is absolutely critical for this team taking the next step in terms of getting to a Super Bowl. That's what they were able to do. Get off the field on third downs and force Pat Mahomes into predictable third downs, which dialed up the edge rushers like Von Miller and, more importantly, the front seven. That's what you want to see. Get in Pat Mahomes' face. Force him into quick throws. Don't allow him to survey the field and hit a Mecole Hardman or a Travis Kelce in stride. So they had a great game plan. Hopefully it'll play out, obviously, if they meet in the playoffs. But right here, right now, I think Josh Allen as well has proven he's an MVP candidate along with some of the other players right now in the AFC and NFC.
When you look, Joe, there is that distinction in the AFC Championship market. Buffalo is at plus 155. Kansas City is at plus 400. There is that difference between those two prices as well, nearly $2.50. But when you follow KC, it's Baltimore with the third best price, but that's a $5 difference. Baltimore is 9-1. Kansas City is 4-1 at this moment. So let's go around the National Football League, Joe. Baltimore involved in one of those many games we saw yesterday where the underdog not just got the cover, but won outright. The New York Giants at home yesterday, a 5.5-point, 6-point dog against the flock, win outright, forcing two big turnovers of Lamar Jackson late in that fourth quarter. And the Giants, Joe, win 24-20 to improve to 5-1 this season. It's not always pretty, but somehow, some way, Brian Daboll and the New York Giants continue to win football games. They've won 5 of their first 6 and 4 of those 5 outright as an underdog.
Yeah, second half adjustments. And if you watch that game, Baltimore just couldn't pull away. They, in terms of the total yardage, they had, I think, 438 yards or over 400 versus 238 for the New York Giants. And they still managed to pull that ball game out. Why? Because Brian Daboll made second half adjustments. The defense forced turnovers. And Lamar Jackson made two critical errors at the end of that ball game. Obviously, the strip sack by Thibodeau and the interception went on a bad snap. He had to throw that football away. Why he decided to throw it across his body into the middle of the field, it remains to be to me right now. That was the mark of almost a rookie in that type of situation. But, you know, I'll tell you, as much as we talk about Saquon and the offensive line, the Giants' defense is coming into form as a bend but don't break type of group, right? They, especially in red zone opportunities, they limit touchdowns, force field goals, and that's what's allowing them to pull these ball games out. Wink Martindale had a great second half game plan, and that's what allowed the Giants to prevail. And you know what? It looks like it's the Eagles and Giants battling it out now for an NFC East title. I can't believe I'm saying that, but that's the case.
The Birds 6-0, the Giants 5-1, and the Cowboys 4-2. The Giants still the third best price in the NFC East. A long number relative, Joe, at 8-1. It's because the Birds are minus 370. But a great point about that matchup between Wink Martindale, the former defensive coordinator in Baltimore, and that was the narrative going in. Does he have that familiarity to slow down Lamar Jackson and that Baltimore offense? Well, two key turnovers late. An interception from Lamar that led to the game-winning Saquon Barkley, rushing touchdown, and then Kayvon Thibodeau, the rookie edge rusher, forcing the strip sack of Lamar Jackson to seal that game. The New York Giants, a 5-1 football team, Joe. The New York Jets, a 4-2 football team. And for the second straight week, a team that plays their football in New Jersey with New York in their name pulls off the outright upset as a more than touchdown underdog against the Green Bay Packers. This one wasn't in London, though, where Big Blue beat the Green Bay Packers. This one was gangrene on the road in Green Bay, Joe, with a 27-10 victory. We'll continue to react to that on the other side of the break. All of the day of the dog upsets that we saw in the National Football League, a Sunday chock full of surprises that certainly was not chalk. Come back and join us here on Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. A day of underdogs yesterday in the National Football League, and not just covering big spreads, but winning outright. Joe, for the second straight week, a New York team beats the Green Bay Packers as more than a touchdown underdog. It was the Giants two Sundays ago in London as an 8-point dog. It was the New York Jets gangrene in Green Bay as a 7.5-point dog against those Packers. And it wasn't a fluky win or decided late. The Jets were in control pretty much all football game, 27-10. The victory for Robert Saleh and company in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers and the Pack, Joe. They are now 4-2 this year, is New York. In all games, they've been booked as an underdog. So all four of those victory, Joes, outright as an underdog.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, that defense is really leading the way. I mean, if I would have told you at the start of the week that Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay's offense, even if Davante Adams is playing for Las Vegas, was going to score 10 points against the Jets at home, would you have thought that? I mean, this is an offense that's totally, you know, inconsistent right now. But part of that was due to the play of the New York Jets front seven. They held the rushing attack in check. They forced Aaron Rodgers into long third downs. They got some stops in terms of giving their offense short fields and opportunities to score. And at the end of the day, they are really beating up teams in the interior. Offensive line is coming through. The ability to run the football and take the pressure off of Zach Wilson is showing. Zach Wilson is starting to develop a little bit in terms of the offense and understanding his role, when to take obviously chances and not to throw interceptions. And as long as they do that, they're going to be in ball games right now. Now, long term, if we're talking, in my opinion, both New York teams, Jets and Giants, I think the Giants are more ahead. I think they're more legit of a 5-1 team than maybe where the Jets are. But that's not to take away from Saleh. He's got some young talent there, especially on the defensive side of the ball, led by cornerback Sauce Gardner. He stepped up yet again and is proving his net worth as the number one overall pick in terms of the cornerback selected.
And tried to take a cheese head with him out of Lambeau Field before Alan Lazard had other ideas. But a big victory for the Jets. Again, a 4-win football team, and all four of those wins have come as an outright underdog. Elsewhere, Joe, what's going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? An 8.5-point favorite on the road in Acrisure Stadium against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was the rookie versus the vet, but let's add in another veteran in Mitchell Trubisky, who had to come in relief duty for Kenny Pickett after Pickett was injured and placed into concussion protocol. But it's the Steelers, Joe, as an 8.5-point home underdog that went outright 20-18 over Tom and Tampa. And Tom Brady, Joe, as I'm sure you saw, was not too pleased with it on the sidelines.
No, he was yelling at his offensive line. I like Pittsburgh when we discussed it during the week in terms of keeping it close within the 8.5. I did not think that they would pull the ball game out, but somehow, some way, they found a way to get that home win, and part of it was Trubisky coming off the bench and leading his team. Obviously, I think he's the better quarterback of both him and Pickett, but at the end of the day, the offense for Tampa Bay right now is not the same as it was in years past. They're not as explosive. They're not running the football as consistently. When you look at Leonard Fournette, 21 carries, 63 yards. I mean, that's basically 3 yards a carry. So if you're not running the football consistently, what happens then? Then all of a sudden it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. That gives a benefit to opposing defensive fronts. And even though Pittsburgh hasn't stepped up in recent weeks, they found it a way to keep Tom Brady in check. And at the end of the day, that's how you win games in terms of the college and NFL level. If you force predictable third downs, don't limit big plays over the top, and force teams to methodically work down the field, you're going to be in the game in the fourth quarter, and they pulled it out. So credit Mike Tomlin. I'll tell you what, I don't know if Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if they went to a playoff game right now, I don't know if they get out of the first round.
And that's the conversation, I think, Joe, right, is how substantial is this for Tom Brady and Tampa Bay? Because we have seen the offensive struggles. Yesterday, Tom absolutely scolding and cursing out his offensive line. The defense is still good, but Mitchell Trubisky was 9 of 12 in what he had to do in relief for 144 yards in that game-winning touchdown pass to Chase Claypool. The Bucs right now, Joe, are a 3-3 football team. There are, at this moment, as we enter Monday Night Football tonight, there are 22 of 32 NFL teams that are at 500 or worse at the moment. That is crazy. A league of mediocrity currently, Joe, around the NFL. But in the NFC South, Joe, all teams are at 500 or worse. So Tampa still booked as a -550 favorite to win the division. Thus, the expectation is they get to the postseason through a divisional championship. But what that looks like, Joe, some of these things are very, very concerning. Right now, though, Tampa Bay tied at the top of the NFC South with the 3-3 Atlanta Falcons, Joe. The Dirty Birds are the only perfect team against the spread in the National Football League. 6-0 ATS because they continue to cover numbers, and they have been booked as an underdog in all of their games, and they're winning outright in half of them, Joe, including as a 5.5-point dog at home, 28-14 yesterday over San Francisco with a banged-up Niners defense.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think that was one of the shockers of the afternoon as well, is the fact that even though there was defensive injuries to San Francisco, the offense couldn't run the football against the Atlanta Falcons. They fall behind 14-0. They tie it up at 14 and then don't get a second half point the rest of the way. I mean, that is the defensive adjustments that Arthur Smith and that staff have made. That is the biggest head scratcher when I look at San Francisco, right? I mean, Jimmy G almost throws for 300 yards. They get 14 points. 14 points against the Atlanta Falcons. This is one of the best coaching jobs in the NFL right now, because they were written off. When you just look at this team, what do they have? A 4.5 win total at the start of the year? They're 500. They went toe-to-toe with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Almost pulled that game out. Should have had an opportunity to at least win that ball game with the Grady Jarrett situation. And Marcus Mariota, he's got second life, baby. So here's the thing. When does it end? When does the ATS run end? They can't go 17-0 or 16-0 against the number this year. I mean, come on. What game are we going to bet against the Atlanta Falcons? They're playing with house money, but at some point Cinderella has to stop.
Do we look at it this week? The Bengals, a 6.5-point favorite at home, is Cincinnati against those Atlanta Falcons. I don't know. Maybe so. The Bengals did cover yesterday, Joe, on the road against another NFC South team in New Orleans. Joe Burrow down in the bayou once again, wearing his teammate Jamar Chase's LSU national championship jersey into the stadium. And that connection was profitable yet again for Cincinnati. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns for Joe Burrow, 123 and a touchdown for Jamar Chase. So a very, very big game, Joe, for the Bengals in the Big Easy, and they cover as a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, they overcame a 200 rushing yard performance by Taysom Hill, Kamara, and the group. They pounded the rock for almost 6.8 8 yards per carry. I mean, think about that. Almost 7 yards a rush on that front seven, and somehow, some way, Joe Burrow pulls it out. And I was looking at that game, obviously, and you see Ja'Marr Chase, like, third quarter, he's got, like, 16 receiving yards. Then he gets up to, like, 50, and then, boom, over 100 yards. You knew that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase were looking forward to this game on the schedule. I mean, Burrow was dialed in the second half, 300 yards. And you know what? I said it before. They should have won that game against Baltimore. I think they're back into form. I think there's no doubt, in my opinion, Cincinnati is making the playoffs. I still think they could win the division. And at the end of the day, if they could get a little help from their defense, they're going to be there. And you know what? Give Joe Burrow a shot. I'll take him any day of the week against Josh Allen, Mahomes. You can never say never. So at the end of the day, I'm buying into the Bengals right now.
I sold that connection, by the way, Joe, between Burrow and Chase just a tad short. It was 303 touchdowns for Joe, but 132 of them went to Ja'Marr Chase, and two of the three passing scores went to Ja'Marr Chase as well. Joe, I'm fascinated by the numbers in the AFC North right now. Again, one of those divisions. There's three divisions, I believe, in total where every team is at 500 or worse, with the Baltimore Ravens and the Bengals tied both at 3-3. Yes, the Ravens have the slight tiebreaker advantage at the moment, but that might not be the case at the end of the year because they still have to play each other for a second game, and that one will be in Cincinnati. The Bengals, Joe, plus 195 to win the division. The Ravens are still an odds-on favorite at minus 135. It's the Bengals trending up after losing two games and now have won three of their last four. The Ravens, Joe, again, against the Giants yesterday, New York wins outright as a 5.5-point underdog, but it was the third loss this year, Joe, for the Ravens overall, and in all three of those losses, the Ravens have had a double-digit lead at some point. They can't put the football game away, and so I'm surprised to see Cincy at plus 195.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, if we're talking both teams, you got to feel that the passing game of Cincinnati is much more lethal than Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And that's how I gauge, okay, I think both defenses are the same. I'm not sold on Baltimore's defense. They couldn't shut down the Giants in the second half. They didn't make adjustments. You can run on them. At the end of the day, it goes down to the quarterbacks and obviously the passing game, right? So if we're talking the passing game, you got to feel Burrow, Higgins, and obviously Ja'Marr Chase and those weapons are much more consistent than Lamar Jackson outside of Mark Andrews. Where is the wide receiver outside of Duvernay? Outside of Duvernay, Tylan Wallace, where's some of the other guys? He only locks in on Andrews. That can't be.
Rashad Bateman's still a little dinged up right now. I agree, Joe. I'm looking at this Bengals team like, ooh, there might be some juice there once again. We will go to college football up next because it was an awesome, awesome Saturday. Stay with us on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a weekend it was. Week number 7 of college football. We built the hype and the excitement all week long here on Football Full Circle. 6 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts. 3 unbeaten battles with teams at 5-0 or better against one another. And Joe Lisi, oftentimes in life, it is difficult to set high expectations for something, whether it's in sports or really anywhere, and then to see them live up to that hype. That is what we saw week 7. Games that were outstanding across the slate all day long, specifically in that mid-afternoon wave, and certainly on Rocky Top, my home sweet home. What a victory for number 6 Tennessee over number 3 Alabama. The Volunteers, Joe, snapping a 15-year losing skid against the Alabama Crimson Tide, winning in thrilling fashion. 52-49, a last-second field goal, a field storm. The goalpost stood absolutely no chance, and they're partying like it's 2006. Probably still, Joe, in Knoxville, puffing on those victory cigars.
Oh, Cumberland Avenue was definitely rocking in Knoxville. I can tell you that. I've been there. An amazing scene Saturday night or in the wee hours, right? The evening there, you know, where they ripped down the goalposts. That game was unbelievable. I mean, three games really stand out. Alabama, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, TCU, and obviously USC and Utah. But think about that Tennessee game. They jump out huge, 28-10 first half. It looks like they're going to be knocked out. Alabama, here comes Bryce Young. Here comes Jamar Gibbs. They tie it. They take the lead. They get defensive stops. I mean, the ebbs and flows in terms of the pendulum was on both sides of the fence. If you're a Bama fan, Tennessee fan, and then to see both quarterbacks step up, right? Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young, and then the Heisman Trophy contender now at plus 480 in terms of Hendon Hooker dealing. I mean, unbelievable game Saturday afternoon in Knoxville. You have to credit Josh Heupel. They made the plays. Alabama didn't. They were undisciplined, penalized, turnovers, and that's untypical of a Nick Saban team. And you know what? Tennessee deserved to win that. Now they got to keep Joe Moe rolling because they still have two critical games against Kentucky and Georgia before they head to the SEC championship game.
Joe, speaking of those penalties, 17 flags in the loss to Tennessee in Knoxville, which was obviously a raucous environment from start to finish and still probably going once again on Rocky Top. Alabama now ranks dead last in all of FBS, 131 teams, and the Alabama Crimson Tide is dead last with 66 flags drawn this year. Nick Saban is going to lose his mind, as he did at certain points on Saturday. 28-10. Bryce Young brings Alabama back almost single-handedly, Joe. If he didn't already have a Heisman Trophy in his trophy room, that would have been a Heisman moment, tying the football game at 49-all late in that game. And then for all of that to happen, and Tennessee still able to pull off the victory, a 40-yard field goal to end it, that was something truly, truly special. And they went outright, Joe, as an 8.5-point underdog. So Tennessee, in the updated AP Top 25, flips places with Bama. It's the Volunteers ranked third. It's Alabama ranked sixth in the country. It's the first time, Joe, for the Tide outside of the top five in the AP poll since the 2019 season. But a big, big victory for Tennessee, and we see that reflected in the rankings. We'll talk about the odds, though, in just a second.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you wanted to see if you're the Tennessee faithful, right? You wanted to see your offense abuse Nick Saban and that secondary over the top. They had success last year, had it out of a one-score game, and couldn't pull it out in the fourth quarter in Tuscaloosa. This year, they said, you know what, we're going for the kill shot early, and we're going to force Alabama to play from behind, and that's exactly what they did. And that's the key to beating Alabama. Alabama is very good at dictating the tempo. They jump up early and they just choke you out in terms of an MMA fight because they force offenses into becoming predictable, right? And that really gives an added benefit to Will Anderson and that front seven. Not this game. Hendon Hooker really showcased why he's one of the best players in all of college football. I mean, their wide receivers and formations really confused the Alabama secondary, and that's what led to Saturday's victory over the Crimson Tide.
Joe, I love the board for the college football slate on Saturday. The board did not love me. But one thing that I wanted and should have bet because I was looking at it early and often, Hendon Hooker's rushing yards prop. It was 32.5. It was too small, and he finished with 56. Shoulda, woulda, coulda is how the game goes. Bryce Young's stat line, though, sensational. 35 of 52, 455 yards and two touchdowns. But Hendon Hooker, really good as well. 21 of 30, 385 yards, five touchdowns, Joe. Five touchdowns. Even an Alabama pick six, as you called on College Football Today, could not hold him down. And Jalin Hyatt, all five of those touchdown passes off the right arm of Hendon Hooker to Jalin Hyatt. Six grabs. Five of them touchdowns, 207 yards. What a football game for the Volunteers. Now, Joe, here's the interesting thing, and this will be the conversation that we have. How does this all impact the SEC title race? How does it then, of course, impact the college football playoff? There are some people out there, Joe, lunatics, I would say, but there are some people out there, Joe, that feels there is a path to three SEC teams in the college football playoff. If that happens, we will see the 12-team expansion next season and probably announced on January 15th, I think the day after the title game, or maybe it's January 7th this year. Anyway, the day after the title game, we will hear of that. I don't see that happening, Joe, and here's why. I'm not even sure Tennessee is going to play in the SEC championship game. That is how competitive the East Division is going to be. Kentucky is on the schedule still. And mainly, Joe, so are the Georgia Bulldogs. And that is a weird thing where Alabama might still have a better path to the SEC title game than the Volunteers, who just beat the Tide in Knoxville on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the last 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season are going to be unbelievable in terms of the intensity and what's on the line for all three of those schools that you mentioned. Right now, it is Georgia. They haven't been challenged to date, per se, but they're going to get their test in a couple of weeks against Hendon Hooker in their house. Now, if Tennessee loses that game, they have one loss, right? They still have to face off against Will Levis the week before, and I think that is asking a lot out of Tennessee going to, you know, up against a very physical group of Kentucky, then going on the road to face off against the Georgia Bulldogs. If they lose, it all depends on if they have one loss. If Tennessee has one loss to, let's say, Georgia, and it's by less a touchdown or less, yes, I think they deserve to be, you know, in the conversation. If they get boat raced by the Georgia Bulldogs, let's say by 24, then the argument is mute, you know. So it really depends on how Tennessee loses, or if, in fact, Georgia loses, right? The margin of defeat is going to make or break the argument 100%. Of that team being in the college football playoff.
So well said, Joe. Because oftentimes people talk about style points and margin of victory. That shouldn't matter. You lost or you won the football game. It's the certainties that we have in life. Well, newsflash, people, it does matter. And I believe it has an effect on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. But Joe, the wonderful thing about the line of work that you and I are in is we don't call it style points. We call it covering a number. So if Georgia is a 6.5-point home favorite, I think the line's probably going to be bigger than that. Let's say Georgia is an 8.5-point home favorite against Tennessee for that matchup in Athens between the Vols and the Dogs, and Georgia doesn't cover, well, then that reflects well on Tennessee. That will be something that, hey, there's no silver linings or there's no brownie points. Well, there's no moral victories. Well, there's covering a number and that keeping you in the conversation. But if Georgia is an 8.5-point favorite and they win by 2 touchdowns, that's going to be tough for Tennessee. Again, style points, covering a spread, doesn't matter what you call it. It matters to the College Football Playoff. It does. How about this scenario, Joe? Let's play this out. Tennessee's only loss this year comes on the road in Athens. They're an 8.5-point underdog, as we use this estimated line I just came up with, and they cover that number. So Georgia wins, Tennessee covers. Georgia goes to the SEC championship game, unbeaten. They take on Alabama, a one-loss Tide team that lost to Tennessee. Alabama, probably an underdog once again in the SEC championship game, wins outright and beats Georgia by a touchdown. Then what happens? You have Georgia, Bama, and Tennessee all with one loss. Alabama has lost to Tennessee. Tennessee has lost to Georgia. Georgia has lost to Alabama. That would be pure chaos. I'm not sure we're going to see it, Joe, but it's a realistic possibility at this moment.
Oh, it is. You're absolutely right. And then the committee's really going to have to split hairs in terms of who they select. I will say this. You even look at, you know, the comparison to other conferences, right? We have to see right now Ohio State's in the driver's seat, right? So let's just assume they're undefeated. But what about Oklahoma State, right? Oklahoma State, let's say, gets back on their horse and runs the table and wins the Big 12. Their only loss would be to a three-point road loss to TCU, who was undefeated in overtime. So if we're talking Tennessee and a Big 12 champion, or think about that, how will that hold weight? Because 100%. It really does matter whether we could even see two SEC teams in, for that matter. And what if we have a Pac-12 champ in the same situation? What if 100%. It's UCLA? What if it's, let's just, maybe it's USC. They regroup, they get back on course, they run the table, they have one loss on the road to Utah by 1 point. I mean, you know, think about that. So that's why I say whoever loses in the SEC, and even though they're the best conference, in my opinion, it has to be a very close loss. They get absolutely boat raced. They're out of the conversation completely. Because think about the year that Ohio State got boat raced by Purdue, right? By 29. Didn't that hurt them? Or was that the year, if I'm not mistaken, that was the year they didn't make the playoffs, right?
I don't know off the top of my head, but something we could dive into. But Joe, you're bringing up really good points, because that's a nightmare scenario for the College Football Playoff Selection Committee in trying to decide just four teams. That's why we have expansion. We also have expansion because of the TV revenue it will generate. But that could lead to expansion taking place earlier rather than later. It will take effect in the 2026 season, but there is some wiggle room based on TV contracts for it to happen earlier, because these are all realistic possibilities at the moment. And listen, we're projecting the future. Tennessee could still lose two football games. Georgia could lose. Bama could lose again. We could have unbeaten teams in the Pac-12 and the Big 12, and that would maybe take away some of this argument. But there's a lot of football left to be played, Joe, and it got a lot more interesting with Tennessee pulling off the upset in Knoxville on Saturday. Boo Corrigan, the athletic director for NC State, he is now the committee chair for 2022. You got some work to do, Boo. And believe me, if you don't do it well, people are going to use your first name against you. Anyway, Joe, a couple of huge games, like you mentioned this weekend. Michigan routes Penn State at home, 41-17, running for over 500 yards as a team. Michigan is a perfect 7-0, covering for the second time of their four Big Ten games, and home field advantage once again being huge in that Penn State-Michigan series. And Joe, you mentioned it, in that afternoon slate, not only were we all glued in on Tennessee in Knoxville against Alabama, we had our eyes on Fort Worth between TCU and Oklahoma State. Double overtime, Lisi, and the Horned Frogs prevail. Your quick thoughts, and we'll wrap up the show on the other side of the break.
Bad decision by Spencer Sanders. Forced the ball into coverage in the fourth quarter. Cost his team the game, Ben.
And we will know more about the Big 12 in the coming days when the odds are posted back on there. A couple more minutes on Football Full Circle. Up next on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a few more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle. What a weekend it was in CFB. Lisa, you said a couple of questionable decisions late in that football game from Oklahoma State's Spencer Sanders against TCU. TCU rallies. They put up 14 straight in the fourth quarter, shutting out the Pokes, and they score both touchdowns to force that second over, or to force the extra session, and then in double overtime, get the victory, walking it off in Fort Worth, 43-40. So, Joe, TCU is the only unbeaten team left in the Big 12. The Horned Frogs now ranked eighth in the country. How legitimate do you think Sonny Dykes has his team rolling in his first year on campus?
Well, they're rolling. I mean, they could score points. Max Duggan was not consistent early, but he found his mojo in the fourth quarter, and that's all that matters, is that this team is confident. And when you can run the football, you have an opportunity. They wore down Oklahoma State in the last 7 minutes, and at the end of the day, the defense is not great, but they do force turnovers when it matters. So as long as they can continue that type of recipe, they have a very good shot against Kansas State this weekend and against the rest of the teams in the Big 12. Only time will tell. I still believe Oak State, from an offensive perspective and defensive perspective, can bounce back and get back to the Big 12 championship. But it starts with a win over Texas, already 4.5-point underdogs this weekend in Stillwater.
What a huge game that is going to be in Stillwater. The fate of the Big 12 hangs in the balance, because entering this past weekend, Joe, it was Texas as the favorite in the conference, 20 cents ahead of both Oklahoma State and TCU, tied with that second best price, only behind UT. Now it's Texas on the road against Oklahoma State. TCU, a 3.5-point favorite in a top 25 showdown against Kansas State. That one is in Fort Worth. So much, Joe, is going to play out the Big 12. I cannot wait to see those updated conference odds. And then the Pac-12 might be decided this weekend as well. Oregon, a 6-point favorite in a top 10 tilt against UCLA. That does it for Football Full Circle today. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Keep it locked on the Sports Grid Radio Network.